welcome back to the Outdoor Show. This is Craig Compo coming to you from Fairbanks, Alaska, as far as you know. Anyway, we were talking a little bit in the first part of the program about wolves and federal overreach and National Park Service and John Sturgeon and some of the fun stuff, and told the story of what the song that we kicked the show off with, the Gray Wolves of Chicnic. Corey Rossi was running the department back then, and Sarah Palin had appointed him at the behest of many of us who were lobbying for his appointment. Fish and Game had a history of a lot of greenies down in that region. Region 3 is Fairbanks, has been pretty good over the years, but a lot of good guys work there. You know, when you walk into that place, you're actually treated like a customer at a store. You don't get that everywhere, but kudos to the Fairbanks batch. They really do a pretty good job. I mean, everybody always complains about it. People that don't understand some of this stuff, they'll go, well, Fish and Game won't do anything. When you're talking about a federal issue that they can't do anything about. But they do push back on the feds pretty hard, and so good for them. Doug Vincent Lang's their current commissioner down in Anchorage and Juneau. And so anyway, it's they do what they can. You're fighting the feds all the time. And speaking of which, I wanted to talk a little about my first motorcycle. It wasn't a motorcycle. It was a three-wheeler. 1971 Honda 90 three-wheeler. I was 11. My dad got it for me. And the reason I want to talk about the three-wheeler, I've got one up at my hunting camp. It's 46 years old. It's a 110. We use it to move stuff from our boat landing over to the camp, and we move moose with it when we need to. We don't use it often for that, but you know, it's so nice and light. You can throw it in the nose of the boat. If you get a moose, if you're up the river and you get a moose, you know, back off the edge of a swamp, and you don't want to lug it a mile or half a mile, you just quarter it and throw it on the three-wheeler and bring it out a piece at a time or two. But anyway, I did a little history on the three-wheeler, and the reason it's important, because it's going to go back into federal overreach on what's going on today with on-road three-wheeled auto cycles, they call them, like Can-Am Spiders and the Polaris Slingshot, and a few others. Anyway, so back about the time the flood hit Fairbanks, America Honda, they asked their R&D department to develop a new project. And they were trying to, what they were trying to do is, the motorcycles were really popular back then, but during the winter season, they would, sales would cool off in the fall, you know, and especially the northern half of the U.S. And so they wanted to boost their numbers. So they, there's a guy named Osamu Takuchi, and he was the lead of this project. They put him in charge of the new product development. And they tested some prototypes. They had two-wheelers, three-wheelers, four-wheelers. They had a five-wheeler, six-wheelers. They had all these ideas, some of them just on paper, some were prototypes. But after a bunch of testing, they determined that the three-wheeler was the best for a new product when it comes to snow and mud, slippery, you know, it's more maneuverable, it was light. And so they actually kind of, like they still do today, they stole some ideas. I guess China's worse about that. But we had a product in Auburn Hills, Michigan called the Amphicat. Sometime between the 60s and 70s, and it was originally, I think, invented in Spain, but they produced it in Auburn Hills, Michigan, and it basically, he had a prototype, Takuchi, and had a little 70cc Honda motorcycle engine, and I think it had kind of rigid tires, but once he saw this Amphicat with this big balloon tires, and he thought, aha. So they patented the design of the three-wheeled balloon-tired rig, and actually it was kind of underpowered, so they wound up putting the 90 in at 90cc, which is the first one I had. Then they patented the thumb throttle versus a twist grip, and you know what's funny? You think about the anti-motorized folks. The tree huggers loved it, most of them, and that's about when that whole Earth movement, Earth Day in 71, all that big Earth Day movement, as Wayne Heimer calls it, was born. But yeah, so the reason they liked it is you could run over brush and, 2 minutes later, you never knew anything was there. Low pressure tires, I think they held 4 or 5 PSI. I don't know how many times I ran over my heels in that thing. it was a foot shift model. They retailed new in the States for $595. They called it the ATC 90, All Terrain Cycle 90. I think they had three models initially, the 70, the 90, and the 110. And it was kind of interesting because the like so much of the industry, the market dictates the real use of the vehicle. And of course, Honda called this thing some sporty little name. As far as not a name, but a description of the type of vehicle, and their marketing was all about, hey, rip around on this little three-wheeled rocket, Well, farmers and ranchers had a different idea. They're driving tractors on the farm, which can get expensive when you just need to move a trailer load of stuff across the field, and you can do it with a little ATC 90. I can tell you from many, many miles on that 110 up at the Good Pasture, we still have that old 48-year-old. It's a 74. Yeah, so it's almost 50 years old. Those things have good low-end power. They're reliable. They crawl along. We knocked down some big old timbers and drug them to build our dome frame and so forth. But the ranchers across the country, and they discovered that this three-wheeler, that the Honda was onto something. they figured about 8% of what the fuel of a tractor used. So in the 80s, it became a rec and utility vehicle. And it grew from about 30% to 80% of the ATV market, which is pretty amazing. And of course, Honda decided, well, let's just make, more power and, more speed. And so they had a 185 and then a 250, and a 250R. And they had they were marketing more as a high performance rig, and the market was telling them, hey, this is a utility rig. And it was both, but the farmers didn't need, a 60 mile an hour three wheeler to get across their farm. So anyway, they had just phenomenal sales. Honda did. And then, everybody assumes they quit making the three wheeler because they were dangerous, and, anything's dangerous, kids were jumping them and getting hurt. But what happened was, they wound up, and actually Suzuki was the first one. They came up with a little, I think it was a 125 four-wheeler. They went to four wheels. Suzuki wanted to compete. And, of course, then Honda came out with a four-wheeler. Everybody came out with a four-wheeler and still makes them today. But what happened was the sales jumped so much that naturally there were going to be more accidents because between 83 and 88, they said the ATV Association associated 300,000 injuries, 1,000 deaths to the use of these crazy rigs. Now, 82, Suzuki was the Quad Runner. That's what it was called, the Quad Runner. And it was a 125. And so that became the gold standard as far as generational change in product design. There was advantages to them. There's better traction. They rode better. They sat a little higher, all that good stuff. I think 84, the Honda was still making the TRX 200, and that was that year they sold 370,000 units, which was 69% of all ATVs. Of course, that's when the numbers are going up like that, the accidents naturally are going to go up because there's just more people riding. But now here comes the federal overreach. Here comes Uncle Sam. So Uncle Sam told the industry, okay, we don't like these accident numbers. So you guys need to spend $100 million over the next 10 years and fix this safety issue. So you need free safety programs, free training. They basically had to, the four-wheelers took off, which is really what killed the three-wheelers. It wasn't this safety program so much, but these manufacturers had to buy back these unsold inventories of three-wheelers. Can you imagine back then? Think about this. Think about this. What these things, some of these are worth, what a Big Red, a 250 in perfect condition in a crate would be worth. Oh my God. They're worth crazy money. I've seen them auctioned off and still in the crate. Some guys have them. But can you imagine the industry had to buy back all these machines, probably had to destroy them or maybe sold them to Bangladesh or something. I don't know. But can you imagine having a yard crates full of the brand spanking new Honda three-wheelers, the classics. Anyway, that would be something else. But anyway, that's so where I'm going with this is now there's a bill, believe it or not, and you probably can't believe it, but it's true. There's a bill working its way through Congress to basically redefine, the modern on-road three-wheeler, which is like the Can-Am Spyder. Polaris makes a little slingshot. There's a couple other companies I'm not real familiar with that make them. But there's a federal bill that can redefine motorcycles, and it can literally sideline this whole industry. It's moving through Congress. It's House Bill 3385. And it's a bill that could change what qualifies as a motorcycle. And the critics say it can basically take the three-wheel vehicles off the road. They won't be able to sell them. The bill defines a motorcycle in certain language that I don't know. You know, I think it's just a government getting in the way. I don't know where the pressure is coming from on this. Think about this. There really isn't an issue with these rigs causing accidents. You've already got, think about this. One of the reasons they developed these new three-wheelers, two wheels in the front, one in the back, like the Can-Am Spyder, was because of demographics. People were getting older. They were more likely to tip a two-wheeled bike over. Maybe they're getting a little, mobility issues, whatever, and they can keep riding. They can get on these things and keep riding and enjoy getting out. But anyway, the bill defines a motorcycle as a vehicle originally manufactured with a seat or saddle requiring the rider to sit astride, designed to travel on not more than three wheels in contact with the ground, blah blah blah, and controlled by handlebars and foot controls. Anyway, it's just ridiculous to me. It's working its way through Congress. The industry is fighting it. Supporters of the bill say it'll narrow the federal definition of a motorcycle. Yeah, and ruin I forget how many hundreds of millions of dollars of industry and jobs and everything else. But they don't think about that. So if you own one of these things, look into it. It's coming your way. So what are they gonna have to outlaw them all because they redefine them? But anyway. That's kind of the history of the three-wheeler, where it came from, and now how far we've gotten backwards when it comes to on-the-road three-wheelers. Anyway, that's the show for today. Thanks for tuning in. This is Craig with The Outdoor Show. See you next Saturday.